Thank you. Any staff?
Oh, yeah.
Comments? Oh, yeah.
Don't forget the meeting next week. We'll start at 8:30 in the morning. We have presenters on the International Value Equity Fund, the search. They will be presenting in the morning. And the other thing that we'll have next week will be people from Transwestern talking about, just to give you an overview of the Willows. This is one of your investments. Where are we on occupancy rates? How does that compare to the general market? And then a quick presentation on some repairs that need to be made to the building. And one of the suggestions was for installing new double pane glasses windows everywhere. So maybe I'll have some time to research that a little bit before we get back. If anybody has iPads and needs boosters at the meetings, we do have the power packs to do that, just to let you know, because we are not installing electrical outlets right now. We will be conducting the Milliman on-site in November. I'll let Tim update you on Paulson if you have an update. We did an on-site visit to Paulson in New York. Scott got his first on-site visits in, and then we also went over to Lord Abbott. I was not happy with the Lord Abbott visit. I don't think it was a secret to anybody. We have since had 3 conference calls with them. They've made some major changes in their, to me, it was their overall company strategy. Out of their client service individuals, they told us that they let 8 out of 12 of them go. They no longer have client service personnel that is specific to public funds. Their definition of institutional includes corporate DC plans. So when they have somebody servicing institutional, they don't have the public background. And that was part of our disagreement here. We did not feel, and I did not feel like that they were open, maybe Scott can even speak to this, that they were open and transparent during that meeting. Without going into details about what happened, I think it was very appropriate that we did put them on watch. We have since, Tim and I have spent some time with them this week negotiating, pretty much, to find a client service person who will understand the public fund side and our needs for reporting. And in instance, I will tell you this, their CFO was let go in July. And we specifically asked why we weren't notified, and they said because she wasn't doing CFO work. And that wasn't an appropriate answer. The person held that position, they held that title, and they didn't tell us. Even to follow up on that, I was given some mismatching dates on one of our phone calls about when that really occurred. And the blame was not theirs, it was somebody else's. And we just didn't feel comfortable and feel like we were getting the honest answers for
everything. How much money do we have with them?
About $260
million.
Yeah. Eye-opening experience.
It's one of Scott's first on-site visits, and maybe you can speak to that, the value of an on-site visit, being in person.
Yeah, I would just say, as a new person, for those of you who haven't done it, I there's no substitute for being in the room and hearing the responses, seeing the body language, if you will, and contrasting, because in that case, we had 3 different groups of folks from the company at 3 different times, including the managing partner, and you just got a sense that it definitely was an organization in deep change, in a disruptive change. I didn't have that sense when I walked in the door. I had that sense when I walked out the door. There's no doubt about it. I think I said to Tim earlier today, had I known after the site visit. Had I known that at the time we were first considering it, I might have approached the watch question differently. But you know, we didn't know. I didn't know, and it turns out that I think that move was appropriate. I mean, I think there are some issues there: communication issues, candor issues, all kinds of it.
So we'll be getting some perhaps recommendation in the near future about what our next steps are going to be?
I think our feeling at this point is it's to watch and see what happens. We have new client service personnel that we will be working with very closely, especially now given what's going on. And I think it'll be up to our investment, chief investment officer, to keep a close eye on the investment side and the returns and see if there are any changes there.
Yeah, I mean, I think the immediate concern on the servicing staff, we're hoping, has been addressed. They've proposed a solution to us. We need to see these people in action to see the proof there. From my perspective, that's kind of the early warning signal. They're changing all these things. We also learned that Rob Lee, the head portfolio manager, now leads the entire fixed income group. So the question would be, does a skilled investor necessarily make a skilled leader? This happened, I think they said, the 1st of October. We have changes on the executive side of the firm. We have changes in the institutional servicing side of the firm. Now we have changes in the portfolio management. I'm going to definitely be focused on the portfolio changes there, distractions that our portfolio manager is going to have as a leader of the entire fixed income group. And if we see any slippage there, the board's going to be the first to hear about it.
So I guess my question to you, is that a 30-day watch? I don't mean the watch that we put on it, but in 30 days, what's the time frame?
Yeah, from the portfolio management side, the change was implemented October 1. Basically, I'll give them the chance to prove themselves that this works, and that probably means a quarter. It probably means 90 days. Take a look at it at the end of December. You know, do we see any early warning signals there? And then you just basically reassess, and you either get to a point where you're seeing a downward trend or you're seeing an upward trend, and the board will hear it.
We haven't lost any money yet.
No.
Presumably they know they're on watch now, and
they know
why.
Yeah, absolutely.
The only thing I was going to bring up, everything we say is recorded.
Yes.
So they hear it, their competitors hear it.
No, I know they're hearing it. That's why I asked the question. Yeah.
They were at the meeting.
The investment performance, we have flash reports, which I will give when comes my time. But the investment performance is fine.
Okay.
Tim, I agree with your time frame and with weighted, yeah, with people that are on the watch. However, I picked up some information that kind of goes along with what you were saying earlier, and kind of in the industry was like, that's strange, or it's not correct. We were an institutional with them, and they had their own team and their own setup,
yep,
and they had a retail team, which is the defined contribution. Now, from what I gathered what you were saying, they have combined both those teams, laid some people off. The rate that I got was that it's a 70-30 now, rather than being 100% institutional, 100%. So now it's 70-30 retail and 30% institution, and that puts us in a secondary seat. It doesn't put us in a primary seat. Are they really our interest? And, you know, I agree with waiting, but if that is the observation that you also got, I'm very glad we put them on watch, and we need to pay close attention to it.
The big issue, and this is not news to most people in the industry, we have a core plus mandate with Lord Abbott. We have $260 million. They have a total of $1.6 billion. We're a big piece of the core plus mandate. But what's driving the fixed income program at Lord Abbott today is a $40 billion short duration / money market business, and that's primarily coming through the retail channel. The concern would be that the revenue stream from short duration is driving overall strategic decision-making process at the firm, meaning that there's been so much money coming in through that channel that they're probably they're going to have to respond to that. And the response might be to reassign staff,
okay,
to do research on that, to do oversight on that, and that there is a very legitimate concern that explosive growth in that asset segment is distracting the firm from the
institutional side. Okay, that's fine.
Yep.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
And that concern was very explicitly shared with the firm.
The way we said it during the meeting was, sometimes our actuaries use a different term for a different definition, mm-hmm, for the exact same term. We see institutional as being public funds. I said, so our definition of institutional is this, what's yours? It wasn't the same.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and I was a little surprised by that.
Okay.
Did they give you a time frame for the client service person? Or
we took care of that immediately. We've had three conference calls and got that assigned.
And
got confirmation this morning.
Yeah, I'm glad you did that.
So
good.
It doesn't mean that person will be 100% public funds, but we are hoping, we'll find out that the new person does have knowledge of public funds and why we are transparent. how we deal with things at meetings, why we need the information we need.
Yep.
Then do you want to do a quick update on Paulson?
Paulson, we had a successful on-site visit there. More than happy to hear the board members' feedback, Scott's feedback from that visit as well, but I think it was confirmation that this is a real estate deal worth pursuing. The contracts are with legal counsel for review right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to say that I was on that visit. What I came away with from a little bit of the deeper dive in that investment is the thoroughness by which they vet an investment and take it through any number of filters, sifts, test it, and then commit to it. The thing I guess this is true of all distressed kind of property investments, is that every one of their sort of larger investments or marquee investments that we talked about had a train wreck for a beginning. That is, they there was always some calamity or some, not comedy of errors, but a variety of errors or things that gave rise to an opportunity that they were somehow uniquely situated to take advantage of. And there's, I think I've mentioned this phrase to some of you, there's the old Branch Rickey line that luck is the residue of design. And to me, their position of being able to take advantage of some of those opportunities is because they were situated in the spot that they could take advantage of it. So I gave them high marks for that. They clearly had the horsepower and the capability to do it. So came away very confident in their ability to make that work.
Yeah, they definitely find the complicated situations, and they've got the firepower to untangle.
Yes.
And stabilize and sell off slowly.
I attended the Paulson review also, and I had the same impression. They're very sharp people. They're very capable, and looks like a good opportunity. And saw basically the same thing as well as at Lord Abbott, that research appears to be solid. As far as I can see, the client service and the structure is in great change, and it's concerning.
But we're on track to close Paulson in about a month here.
How much did we give them?
Paulson?
Yeah.
It's a $25 million commitment.
With the understanding, if it were cut back, it won't go below 20, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right. And we have no indications that we're going to be cut back at this point.
That's it.
That's it for staff.
A couple other items. I'd mentioned to the board that I was going to see the Invesco multifamily property in Minneapolis, partly as a result of Invesco coming back and asking for an expansion of the development cap in their current fund. So I wanted to see what one of their properties looked like. It was, quite frankly, I was very impressed with it. This is a property that had been open 6 weeks. It was already 65% leased at a Whole Foods in the ground level. It opened 3 days prior and was jam-packed. It's clearly getting a good reception. The quality of finishes was quite high. I wasn't there with Invesco people. I was there with the developers. But I was fairly impressed with that property. So I think that's looking good. And then they expect it to be fully leased in first quarter of 2014. So
it's all commercial or residential?
This is all residential, all apartments.
Okay.
So studios, one bedrooms and two bedrooms. And quite frankly, the prices they were getting for an 800 square foot two bedroom in Minneapolis is not on the Skyway, I was shocked by.
Wow.
Okay. I was shocked. But the quality of the
building. Because they were good, or they were too high, or they were too low?
It was a lot higher than I thought. It was in the 2000 range.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the revenue stream on that building should be just fine. Whole Foods signed a 30-year lease with options for another 50 years.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy, they're not going anywhere.
Yeah. I also attended the CII Forum in Chicago, as well as the Institutional Investors Consultant Forum. I thought both were worthwhile. The CII Forum, focused on the governance side, and I won't steal Jerry's thunder or Brian's thunder on that.
Stole yours. We gave this report last week.
Did you?
Yeah.
All right. Moving right along.
I was also at the Institutional Investors Consultant Forum, which it's a good forum. It's a lot of, very open. Airing of ideas, trends in the consulting industry, and that sort of thing. So it's very interesting to hear a panel of consultants discussing where they're taking their business and use that as a compare and contrast with our longstanding relationship with Milliman. The last thing was, I wasn't at the October 2nd meeting, but I understand that Scott and John brought up the fact that they've been contacted by Paladin during the open process. I will be reaching out to Mike Steed with a reminder that we're in a quiet period and there should be no more contact. So that reminder will go out this afternoon.
I will tell you, I also got, I also had contact, and I said, I understand we're in a quiet period, but, so I can't, I can't.
Yeah, I'm a little troubled that three people were contacted when every person told them they were in a quiet period and the contact
and continues to do it.
Well, I didn't recall quiet, but I did say, you should not be dealing with me.
Yeah.
Call you or call Marilyn.
I will have a conversation with Mike Steed this afternoon.
I'm feeling kind of left out, though. I wasn't contacted.
You hide your own phone number better.
I was in contact.
Well, there you go. Aren't you worried about that?
No, oh, not at all. I get enough phone calls.
Okay.
They don't have my number.
I told Peter I didn't want to hear from him, and I haven't heard from him.
Yeah. Anything else? That's it?
I'm done.
Okay.
How long is our meeting next week scheduled to go for? It's we're starting at 8:30. I remember making that
8:30. We have three presenters in the morning, 45 minutes each, I think.
Yes. And then regular business.
Oh, you have your agenda right there.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then we'll have the closed session. I'm thinking probably around 1.
Okay.
1:30.
That's fine. Ish. No, I always do ish.
I don't know. Since the meeting's about to.
Flash report, huh?
Yeah, this is the
flash. I like these, Bob. I'm glad you do this.
Thanks.
And I like this. You know I like this. I carry this with me. I even carry it to conferences.
There's just found out today, you know, if you have that iPad hooked up, you can get to it anytime.
Yeah, there you go. You're going to give me a bad time. Too. I can already tell.
Got one extra. Can we do one?
Well, just like after the...
You're important.
...to Dan Heflin, I've given away mine, but the... generally, it was most of your managers outperformed in the quarter, and the your lower volatility managers underperformed in a highly positive quarter, which is what we expect. And we'll give you the real report later. Preliminary snapshot.
So where would DBL be on this one?
They're not. This is publicly traded people that we can get returns from. DBL doesn't fit.
I see. Okay.
And that's it.
Okay.
Okay. Any trustee comments?
Yeah, me.
Gary?
Yeah, I. It was, for me, it was very interesting. There were 400 people there, and there were 7 trustees. It was
the
mostly...
The 393.
Yeah, yeah.
It's called a consultants roundtable.
Yes, it's a consultants, was... right. What being with all the CFOs, CIOs, and then consultants, it was... really interesting being a minority and sitting in and listening to the roundtables and what's going on, and what people are talking about. The things I came away with was we are, in terms of a fund, our fund is in much, much better shape than almost all the funds across the country. There's people that are 40 to 60% funded, and we're above that, and there are people that don't have the outside consulting and inside consulting that we have, that don't have the support that we have. So I came away feeling like, man, we're sitting in the top quartile of funds in terms of receiving information whenever we make decisions, and also the fact that we, like you were alluding to earlier, we sit in on sites and we sit in on RFPs. We're a part of it. We're as a trustee, we're involved with it. Some of these funds, the only person that makes the decision as to whether or not they invest or don't invest is the chief financial officer. He's the only one. He'll decide, or the CEO, chief executive officer. That person will decide whether or not they go into this or they go into that. So I was like, I came away with feeling like it was worth it for me to go to that fund, go to that conference, just to see that difference in between us and the other funds across the country, and to hear those, even though I was a minority in terms of sitting in on the roundtables. And that was actually, the roundtables were probably the most influential part of it for me. In the morning, they'd have a lecture, and then in the afternoons we'd break up into roundtables, and so I enjoyed that part of it. So it was worth it for me. I may go again because it was, but it was. I'm glad I went this time. That was the first time for me going there, and I've been on this board for 8 years, so it was unusual.
Any other comments? Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.